Well, g'day, hi, welcome. We're going to be talking about On The Net. I'm Dave Myers, this is Gus Cameron. I'm going to quickly tell you about Gus and his qualifications to be here. Gus is a computer nerd. He studied computer nerdery at university. And so he knows much more than me about computer nerdery, but I try to be a computer nerd. He's from the North Shore, lives in Pymble, goes to church at St. Andrew's at Warunga. He's worked for Telstra, doing computery stuff, and for the last year he's been part of working with YouthWorks on an exciting project that he'll tell us a little bit about later on. He has two dogs. He thinks he doesn't like his two dogs, and he likes long walks on the beach. I made that bit up, but that's Gus, so listen to him if nothing else this afternoon.
And this is Dave. He's from the Central Coast. He doesn't surf, which I think is tragic, but he does surf the net, is the way he put it. It was your joke.
Yeah, it was a good one.
He's married to Rowena, been married for 5 years.
Yep.
Worked up at CCC on the Central Coast, church there for 10 years. While he was there, he ran a podcast, was up to number 6 on iTunes. That's his qualifications, and his big bragging point is he has 1,000 friends on Facebook.
Just cross the line. There you go. Basically, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be working from page 16. There's four questions that we want to sort of raise and attempt to answer. I'm going to have a go at the first two. Gus is going to have a go at the second two. And we're aiming to have a good chunk of time for questions. So if you've got questions about how to use the internet for ministry, how to use it safely, how to best tap into it for your own youth ministry, we want to make sure there's enough time at the end to ask questions, and we'll do our best to answer them, and there may well be other people in here who can contribute as well. And so the four questions, number one, does God hate the internet? Number two, is it worth it? That is, using the internet in ministry. Number three, what are the dangers? Number four, how do I do it? So question number one, does God hate the internet? The Bible doesn't really talk about the internet. So I'm not quite sure whether God hates the internet, but the point I want to make to start off is that just like many things in our world and many things in creation, there's things that are neither good nor bad. I think there's a neutrality about certain things. They can be used for good, but at the same time, things can be used for incredible evil and incredible harm. And so I think that's a helpful way to think about the internet. We don't want to be the people who the internet is from the devil and we've got to stay away from it, because I don't think it necessarily is. And there's ways that it can be used for good, for encouragement as opposed to discouragement, for building other people up as opposed to putting people down, for good things as opposed to evil. And so I guess that's the principle that underlines my thinking in how we use the internet in youth ministry. And so a key question I think through as I think about the internet is how can I actually, through my youth ministry, through being a youth leader, through being a small group leader, through being a Bible teacher, whatever it might be, how can I encourage teenagers to use the internet for good and for godly reasons, rather than for bad and for evil reasons, which are easy to do? And so that's, I guess, a key question that I want to think through as I'm thinking about youth ministry and as I'm thinking about how to use the internet in youth ministry. And so I believe, and from some of the things that I've been involved in on the internet and some of the things we've had running with our youth ministry, I actually reckon the internet can really enhance your real community and the social networking stuff that you can do on different websites can actually help to aid your real community that you're building outside of some virtual world. And so I guess the two key principles, I've already raised the first one, how can teenagers use the internet for good? But I reckon secondly, how can the way your youth ministry uses the internet actually help to enhance that real community? So there's people who would argue that you can have real community online, you can have a real community of users that are bonded around a certain thing or whatever it might be. I'm not convinced that you can have real community online, like the community we're talking about in the Bible, like that which we're aiming for in our youth ministries. I'm not convinced about that. And so any websites or any forums or any Facebook pages or any MySpace pages or podcasts or whatever they might be, they can't become the guts of your ministry. They can't be the thing that is what your youth ministry is all about. It's got to actually feed back into the real community as opposed to the false community that you're creating online. The real community that's gathered around Jesus, gathered around his word for encouragement in the flesh, for the spurring on of one another. And so here's one of the dangers, and I think I've fallen into it, and I reckon lots of young guys have fallen into it when they're thinking about the internet and thinking about using it for ministry. We actually spend more time making videos and making podcasts and making changing the colours on our homepage and all these types of things than we do investing in our real community. So I reckon that's a danger you want to steer clear from. That's not saying don't work hard at making it good, don't work hard at being just as good as other websites may look and using it effectively and whatnot, but make sure that your investment is always ultimately about investing in that real community. And so what it might mean is if you're making videos, if you're doing those types of things, you may not go for 100% quality, you might go for 90% quality and pull back that little bit from being a perfectionist. And that even ties in with how lots of the internet stuff is happening. Like your YouTube videos, one of the cool things about them is how raw and uncut they are. So don't spend so long editing an uncut, like a video to make it look raw and uncut. Actually, just get it done and keep investing in the real community and make sure that what you're doing online enhances what you're doing in real life, because ultimately that's the aim, yeah.
255.
255 is when we finish?
Yep.
Beautiful. We're on time. You guys are great, by the way. This is the best group we've had today. Seriously, that's a serious thing. You got the two key principles. How can you encourage teenagers to use the internet for good rather than bad? And how can communities and stuff that you do online tap into the real stuff, the real guts of what you're on about in ministry and building people up and gathering them around Jesus? And so that leads to the second question. Is it worth it? Is it worth actually investing any energy into online youth ministry, into online communities, into all of these things? Because if real community, that which we do in person, in the flesh, if that's our ultimate goal, maybe we're wasting our time by worrying about websites, by worrying about having people, how many hits we got on our website in this past week, or how many views we've had on our YouTube video of our latest camp, or whatever it might be. I reckon it is worthwhile. While I'd rather someone come to our youth ministry in real life and never visit our website, rather than someone who's regular on the website but never actually is part of us, we want to keep that in mind. 89% of Australian teenagers are regular users of the internet. They're regularly on there, all the social networking stuff that they're doing. And the way the internet's moving, there's a term Web 2.0, which is sort of a loose term talking about where the internet's up to. Like 10 years ago when we were first sort of playing with the internet, you went onto the internet to get content. But now one of the things with Web 2.0 is you actually contribute. You can change things on Wikipedia. I've done it, and they've been deleted a day later. It's good fun. But the internet now, it's not just a receive. Like, there's a real give and take and contribute content and all that type of stuff that happens. And so teenagers are spending 89% of teenagers are regularly on the internet. We're talking multiple hours a day they're on the internet. They rush home, they check their MSN, they check their Facebook, they check their MySpace, whichever website is the latest cool one, Bebo or Xanga, I think was one a few years ago. And so I reckon the fact that 89% of our teenagers are living in that world in a real way, well, we want to be able to encourage them as they live online to be Christian online, so that it's not just a Christian life that happens at youth group on a Friday or a Sunday or in their small group or whatever it might be, but how can you encourage your teenagers to be Christian everywhere, no matter where they are? And 89% of them are online. That is more than any other cultural grouping you've got in your youth group. You might have a 70% of your kids at one school, but I'm guessing there's probably no one that's got 89% of kids at one school. My guess is there's no youth group with 89% that are emo, no youth group that are 89% are surfers, no youth group that are 89% are North Shore princesses. Have you met those ones? They're crazy, those girls. Anyway, that's another thing altogether. But the point is, teenagers spend a lot of time there, and so how are you going to help them to be Christian? Just like they spend a lot of time at school, and we start Christian groups at schools, we encourage people to invite their friends from school along to events that you might have, we encourage people to talk to their friends about Jesus and really encourage them at school to be Christian. My guess is that there's kids who spend longer on the internet than they do at school. And now with portable devices and whatnot, they're on the internet at school, even when they're not in a classroom with internet access. And so therefore, I think it's incredibly important, not that we just let it all keep happening, but we actually form groups on the internet ourselves. We actually encourage our kids, our youth, to be Christian and think about the implications of that. And so one of the things that might mean, if Gus will talk in just a moment about what you can possibly do, because you may be technologically inept, and what could you possibly do? Step number one could well be application in a Bible talk. Like, we always talk application about what it will look like at home or at school or at work or amongst your non-Christian friends. What is it going to look like for passage X, Y, Z online? What's it going to mean to be a Christian online? And so I've actually been consciously doing this for the last couple of years. I've talked about a MySpace page being like a virtual bedroom wall. And you put on your bedroom wall the bands or the semi-clad women that are important to you, or whatever it might, what's important to you, you whack up on your wall. And so I wanted to encourage Christian teenagers, if following Jesus is important to you, you'll actually indicate that somewhere on your wall. You don't have to be some Bible freak that plasters it with Bible verses all over it. But you might have some type of indication that you're Christian. You might have some type of indication about the groups that you're part of. You may use it to encourage rather than to discourage. And so in your talks, in your Bible studies, help Christian teenagers to think about how to be Christian online. You see, teenagers are in the world with the YouTube, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, MSN, forums, online games, all of those types of things. They listen to podcasts, they have their iPods, they synchronize it with iTunes, all that type of stuff. And so because they're in that world, I'm not saying you have to be fully immersed in that world, but I reckon you want to understand that world and understand some of the stuff that goes on. And it's actually pretty easy to set up a Facebook page or a MySpace page and become friends with them and use it as a means to encourage online and ultimately to encourage for the real community that you're building. Now, I reckon it also means you want to be able to understand this world and critique the world, and so in application, help to show where it falls short, but also help to show here's how the internet can be used for good. And so in a talk I gave at the end of last year on friendship, I actually said, look, check out all this data on how we use social networking stuff. It shows that we reckon friendship matters. Friends matter. We hate it when a friend is bad to us. We love it when a friend is good to us. We love having friends. And so it was a talk on basically a biblical theology of friends in the Bible, and the point in the end was what a friend we have in Jesus. And so rather than just bagging that particular part of their culture, it was actually saying, look, we use this stuff and it shows that we love friendship. And that was an opportunity to point them to Jesus. I reckon understand the world, critique the world, speak positively about this particular world. Find some websites that are going to help you to do that, because you can actually surf the internet smarter rather than visiting a billion websites. There's a thing called RSS. Who's heard of RSS? RSS. Only about 5 of us have heard of RSS. Basically, it's a way of, imagine you like a magazine, Trucking Monthly. You love trucks. It normally comes out on the first Monday of the month. And rather than going to the newsagent to get the magazine, because sometimes it's not there on the first Monday, it might be the Tuesday, it might be a week late, you have to keep going to get it. Rather than doing that, you subscribe to it. Basically, RSS is a way that you subscribe to stuff. So rather than you visiting all these websites, and so you find a few websites that are going to help you to understand the world. I've suggested some there. Y Pulse is all about Generation Y. Subscribe to that. What's the other one? Youthfacts.com.au. I reckon you can get a statistic from that website for every single talk you ever give. And a bunch of other ones. But I'm going to hand over to Gus in just a moment. I'm not going to say much, but there's 3 things I want to quickly tell you about that we've been a part of that have been really effective in our youth ministry. Number one is weekly emails. They've been great for communication to youth and to their parents. They're easy to set up. Number 2, we had a radio show podcast called On The Potty. You can check it out at onthepotty.com. We had 85 episodes, and it was basically just a bit of fun. We talked about Jesus, we talked about life, we got kids on there and interviewed them, we advertised what was going on. Our aim was always, how do we point back to our real community? And number 3, I've got a theory about term 3. I don't know if you've got this theory as well, but term 3 is often the blues term, and people don't turn up and your numbers sort of drop off a little bit. And so my theory is you actually inject extra energy into term 3. So last year we had a term 3 where during term two we sort of started building up to this ambiguous website called iagreewithdale.com, and we didn't tell them much about it. And basically, you can check out iagreewithdale.com and find out some of the stuff we did. It was just a little. There's things we've done every year where we've tried to inject something in, and there was an example of how we use the internet, and it meant our numbers didn't drop. There's one of the reasons. The energy that's created has helped our real community. Let me conclude. Does God hate the internet? Not sure, but there's good stuff and bad stuff that happens, and so our job is to encourage the good stuff to happen. And I think also as youth pastors, particularly, help parents to think about this stuff. And they've got 7-year-olds who know more about the internet than they do. So we need to help them to think about how they're going to parent. Is it worth it? I think it is. Ultimately, not for creating some false community online, but ultimately because it can enhance our real life community and not just have that thriving one online. So there's question 1 and 2, question 3 and 4.
So hopefully Dave's convinced you that I've lost my sheet.
I convinced you of that.
There is a place for the internet, but we're now going to look a bit about how to actually get onto the internet in youth ministry. But the first thing is we'll look at some of the dangers of it, because there's some bad stuff about the internet and some good stuff. So we'll start with the bad. To make it easy to remember, we've gone with 5 P's. The first one is pornography. At youth groups, we've got really good at talking about how to date and the place of sex in God's creation, but we don't often bring that into pornography. We're a bit scared to talk about it, but the reality is that most kids, their first introduction to sex is pornography. And some people say, you know, a few years ago, there was sort of between 70 and 80% of the commerce on the internet was pornography. So it is a big deal, and it's easily accessible. So be talking about that with your kids next time you do the sex talk. Some helpful things to tell them is maybe if you're using a computer anytime, make sure the door's open. Make sure the computer's in a public place. And be talking about it with your family, with your youth group leaders. Get it something that's just in your conversation. Maybe not all the time, that'd get a bit weird. And also there's some software that helps make it accountable. So there's covenanteyes.com and x3church.com. They're at the bottom of the resources, at the bottom of your page. Read about them. It monitors what you're looking at on the internet. Email's a close friend. You could set up a system with your kids and your youth group leaders, depending on their age and how appropriate that would be for your youth group. The next P is predators. You might have heard all the stories. Just a couple of days ago, some 30-year-old guy got busted for chatting up a 16-year-old police officer who wasn't 16. Be realistic about it. Let your kids know that they shouldn't be, you know, thinking that everyone's friendly on the internet. Some ways to protect yourselves is don't put personal details online. There's no need to. You are friends with the people you meet on Facebook and MySpace. So, you know, keep it to a minimum. And they're going to copy what you do to an extent. So if your profiles are, you know, sharing everything, then they're likely to share everything. And also just discuss that with them. Third one is privacy. It kind of goes along with predators, because predators want to find out your details. They want to find out your address. So keep that to yourself. Remember that everything you put online is accessible to everyone. So the people you really don't like are going to find out the stuff you put online. And so don't just put it online thinking your best friends are going to find it. Put online realizing everyone's going to find it. Fourth P is protection. If you go to an Anglican church, and I think Prezzies do it as well, and you have to do a child protection training every couple of 3 years. So you're familiar with the ideas that, you know, you don't get caught in a room with a kid on your own. And it's the same with the internet. Don't get caught in a position where anyone could ever falsely accuse you of having done something wrong on the internet. Some people come up with rules like, if you're going to email kids, make sure you CC another leader in that email. If you're going to use MSN, make sure you're logging all the conversations. MSN will do that for you. If you're a Skype, same thing, log the conversations. And another thing, if you want to put photos online, you might want to include a permission note in your, say, at the beginning of each year where you get the contact details of all our kids. And at the bottom of that is just a little permission note saying, hey, can we use your kids' photos in any publicity we do? And the parents have been fine with that. We've actually never had anyone say no. And the fifth P is procrastination. I'm sure you've all done assignments and just spent 3 hours looking at SMH, and you're just like, why did I do that? So some things you can do is don't have the computer near you when you don't need it. I suggest that to the kids. As leaders as well, know when your kids should be studying. So if they're doing their HSC, don't be constantly bombarding them on MSN. Be good examples in the way you interact with them and on the net. How to overcome these five P's? First of all, I'd recommend you just set up some rules for your youth group. If you have your once a year meeting with your lead, well, I hope you meet more than once a year. But, you know, once a year, maybe just say, okay, if we're going to send emails out, make sure you CC everyone in and just come up with some other rules to protect yourselves. And also let your kids know the rules. Don't just make it something that the leaders know. Make the kids expect to have the leaders following these rules. And you might also want to share them with your parents of your youth group kids. But not everything on the net's bad. So we came up with two more P's for the good stuff. First one is promoting Jesus. There's kind of the act of promoting Jesus. So, for example, if you're on Facebook, you get that little field that says Gus is... You can say things like, Gus is pumped for youth camp. You can, you know, make sure it says in your religion that you're a Christian. When you're writing on people's walls, maybe put in some Christian conversation there. You don't want to get, you know, crazy that you're some religious freak, but just make it part of your life is being a Christian. You're sharing that through your internet interaction. And then there's the more passive kind. Anyway. And the second P is promoting your group identity. Give your kids something that they can feel a part of online. So we're trying to supplement the real world relationship. It's the real world youth group that we're interested in. But there's ways you can create an online community. So on Facebook, you can create groups. So create a group for your youth group and just allow them to chat and interact with each other, say what's coming up, put some videos on. And then they're telling all their friends, hey, I'm a part of St. Andy's Youth at Roorunga. Advertising that way as well. So MySpace isn't quite the same. You can't really create those groups in the same way. But, you know, have a MySpace page for your group so that they identify with that online, or create a website for your group so they can identify with that online. And then, So we'll go, how do I do it? If you have more questions on that, I've just gone through really fast. Ask me at the end, or now if you want. How do I do it? For most of you, creating a website is not just something you jump on the internet and it magically happens. First of all, they're really time-consuming, so don't even think about doing it until your Bible studies are great and your prepared supper and your games are awesome. Like, they come in, websites come in last, and it's just a killer for time. And one of the reasons for the time being such a killer is, for a website to be effective, it has to be what we call fresh. So it has to change every time. If you've been bored at work and you go on Sydney Morning Herald, and if you go there too often, nothing changes. And that's really annoying. So that happens like every 5 minutes. But if you go to your website and it doesn't change in a month, you're going to stop going to it. And one way to get around making sure it stays fresh is have more than one person committed to the idea of a website. Don't just go it alone. If you go it alone, you leave, or you get busy, suddenly you don't have a website anymore, and it ended up being a waste of time. And thirdly, remember it's visible to everybody. So whatever you put on there, it's got to be great for the public, the people who aren't Christians. It's got to be great for the kids, being challenging to them to grow as Christians and that. And it's got to be good for their parents. It's got to be presenting, particularly the non-Christian parents have to think, yeah, I'd really like my kid to go there. How to actually get a website online? Who uses Facebook? Who uses MySpace? Okay, that's the complete opposite if we ask the kids. So most of you said you use Facebook. Most kids will use MySpace. And that's one of the problems we have, is that we're in a different age group to them. So that means you might have to change your habits to be able to interact with the kids. So be prepared to change your habits if you think it's going to be good for your ministry. So MySpace is a really easy way to get a website. They take care of it all for you. You can link like myspace.com/St. Andy's. I think that's ours. But then, you can create the groups or on Facebook is another way. The problem with the groups on Facebook is it's not visible to the outside world. They have to be on Facebook to see it. So my suggestion is avoid Facebook unless you're dealing with years 11 and 12. The option is create a website from scratch. If you're in an Anglican church, you can get free hosting from the Sydney Diocese Secretariat. So I'll give you their email if I can remember it. You can get something like WordPress. You upload that. You spend hundreds of hours making it look good, organizing, get the content on. And if you're into websites, that's great. You can get the perfect website for your group. Realistically, it's not the way most of us do things. So that's where I'm going to talk to a little bit about this project I've been working on called Fervor. At Youth Works, we recognised there were three problems. Often you have camps, they're short-term camps. The kids come, you get this 6 days of really intense time with them, and then the kids go and you never see them again. And youth group can be the same. Youth group's a Friday night or a Sunday night thing, and then they go back to their non-Christian family or their friends, and you see them a week later and you wonder what happened. And the third thing can be that there's millions of resources on the internet. And if you ever tried to look them up online, you're just like, where do I find the Christian stuff? And then where do I find the good Christian stuff? So we've created Fervor. Fervor's got a homepage. This is the Fervor homepage. It's going to be even more full. There's 9 articles there. We're going to try and get more on. So we're getting Christian writers to write good quality Christian content. We're getting game reviews. We're getting news reviews of what's happening in current affairs, movies, articles on challenging kids, articles on challenging leaders, giving leaders ideas on how to run stuff, how to run their youth group better. And also we're hoping to sort of let you know what events run in your area that might be good for your kids and what you can go to. And so there's an example of an article, Can I Make Poverty History? Challenging the idea of this Make Poverty History campaign and looking at it from a Christian perspective. Secondly, we're going with youth group websites. We reckon it is a value to be online. All the techie stuff is really hard for most people to do and time consuming. So we're going to give you a website that you can have for your group. You can upload posts, you can upload videos, MP3s, photo galleries, documents, share them with your group, let them know what events are coming up. Create podcasts straight off our website. We have a group wall. Kind of like Facebook, except we're calling it Shouts because Facebook called it Walls. Every user gets a little profile, not so much that you could ever put too much information on it that would be bad, but enough. And this is an example. This is the garish theme. They don't all have to look like that if you don't want it to. So you've got your a post saying welcome to Fervor, and then there's events, a calendar. Because we want it to be easy, it's all you just fill in a form to create a new event. It puts the map there for you. And the other thing it does is it takes care of some of the child protection stuff. If you want to communicate with your kids, you can create a post and tick the box to say email that to everybody. And you've suddenly emailed your whole youth group. But we've recorded what happened, so if anything bad was ever sort of suggested, we can go dig it up and say nothing bad happened. You can also SMS your whole group. So if it's raining and you're going to the beach, you can say, hey, we're going to church. And you can email the kids through Fervor. And again, we record everything. We record all the changes. So child protection is not such a drama. And who can use it? We want anyone to use it. It's built by Youth Works and Ranglingans, but we do like everyone else, whatever people say. So if you're a church youth group, if you're a lunchtime group, if you're going to school teaching scripture and it's appropriate for you to create a website for the youth group. As a scripture teacher, suddenly you can communicate with your kids when before you couldn't do that outside the classroom. Beach missions, we're going on beach mission this year and we're going to take Fervor with those handout cards saying, hey, following mission, you can catch up with your leaders here. So if you want to check out what we're doing, go to gofervor.net. It's on the list of resources there. And we're actually going live on December 1. If you've got ideas or comments, check it out. Example.fervor.net is an example group. We'll go question time. Yeah.
Sorry, just quickly. You were talking about the SMS thing then.
Yeah.
Can you just go over that again?
Okay. It's like you've sat there with your phone and you're trying to email 60 kids about So we're selling SMSs, we get paid for them. They're about 10 cents, 9, 10 cents each. So it's probably cheaper than your phone bill unless you've got a great phone. And yeah, you fill in the form, say, select all the kids you wanted to send to, and it'll send them.
So then, like,
and it'll appear on their mobile.
Right.
So
who would pay for it?
You have to buy the SMS from us.
Right.
If you register in the next, from December 1st, about the end of the year, you'll get free SMS. That's a bonus. 100 free SMS. Yeah.
That's good. Any questions, whether it's stuff that Gus has spoken about, stuff that I've spoken about, or stuff that we haven't even touched that you just wanted to maybe hear about in this seminar, go for it.
Like, how often do you guys think is, like, blog-wise, to keep, you know, fresh material, like, each day, once a week, twice a week, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll quickly go, because I probably disagree in part with Gus as far as the usefulness of a standalone website. I'm all for the further stuff, by the way, so I'm not saying I'm not for that. But I think probably even more so for adult churches than youth groups. But so I've set up a website for a church up on the Central Coast, SaturdayEV.com, and it's a simple website that didn't take me long to set up. Set up for free at a website called WordPress.com, where you can make your own website. And so what they do is they have three posts a week. Guys that have no idea about tech stuff are able to upload a sermon. They'll do one announcement and sometimes something else.
Okay.
And so I reckon at least weekly is probably the starting point. But I reckon if you can get two, that's cool. If you can get three, that's great. So what I used to do with our youth group website is I'd put the Bible study notes online on a Sunday ready for the next week. We gave out a physical copy as well, but it was just another thing, again, to remind them of the real community. We went through a stage where every Wednesday was Photo Wednesday, and we just put a bunch of photos from that previous Friday night. So again, points back to the real community. Thursday was when we do like the group email, so they'd be reminded about what's coming up. So I used to aim for at least three. And I reckon Gus has got a good point, not having a one-man show, so you teach a bunch of people to be able to do it. And it's actually quite easy to do lots of this stuff. And the further stuff is cinch to do once you get it set up, and further set it all up for you. The key thing is to just keep chipping away at it. And so the dude that keeps the Saturday AV website running, he has no idea about computers, seriously. And he'd spend 15 minutes a week. The dude that's working 15 minutes a week for a church, working for a church full-time, he can probably find 15 minutes in his week just to be able to keep chipping away at it. And often with guys, they've already provided the content. So if I've already written some Bible study notes, I've done the hard work. Yep. It's getting printed and given to kids anyway. But here's an opportunity for kids who haven't been in a youth group to get it, whether it's via a Fervor site or a WordPress site or whatever other site you want to come up with. So I reckon fresh content is key. And just keep it manageable. That's probably a key thing as well. Did I answer the question?
Yeah.
Do you want to add anything or subtract?
Yeah, just once a week. More than once a week.
Good question. Those are the top five questions of the day.
The best workshop you've been to today.
Why don't you quickly talk to the person beside you and just maybe process some of the things that we've been talking about. Maybe talk about where you guys are up to with your web stuff. Maybe work out some questions you want to ask us, particularly about Fervor or any of the crazy projects I've done before. So literally take them. Like, we've still got about 10 minutes or so to go. So take a couple of minutes, talk to people around you, bring us over if you want us to come and join in, and then we'll bring it to the big forum again. So go for it. Go for a minute or two. Go.
Stuff. We had a couple of questions about Fervor. So first of all, Fervor's free. There might be some things you need to pay for just because that actually costs us money to do like the SMS. Secondly, I've forgotten what it was. You got this in your bag. It tells you a bit about Fervor. And I don't know if you've got cards with it. Oh yeah, kids get their own profile. They put their own details in it. So it's not like you have to give us the kids' details. So it's like they've agreed to do it just like they agreed to go on Facebook.
So that's how the SMS thing will work?
Yeah, so that's how we'll get the numbers from them putting in. They can always opt out if they don't want SMS.
Sure. Who can access their details?
Yeah.
Only the leaders can access their email address and their phone number. Or not even email address anymore. So they can access their own details. Some of the details, like their name and the groups they're in, are visible to other members of Fervor. But all the, like, we don't get the street address because we don't need it. And other details are just in the system to manage the SMS, but no one can view it.
So one kid can't look at another kid's details?
Not, they can see their name and some...
The groups
they're part of. But, yeah, we don't want...
Sure. So is it like a networking, like Facebook in that, or MySpace, that you can talk to each other?
You can talk to each other.
Like two individuals, youth group kids, can...
Like a wall-to-wall type.
Yeah, that's
they can use messaging between each other, so it's really just emailing, but it goes through our system so we record it. But we're really interested much more in their interaction with the group, which is how we differentiate ourselves from Facebook.
Yep.
Facebook's about your friends.
Right.
We don't really, you know, Facebook doing a good
that's
job.
What
so
that's for.
Yeah. So a lot of the interaction is like you can comment on posts and try and get discussion going that way, and you can write on the wall and everyone can see it. And leaders can delete all that if it's inappropriate.
So it's all to do with the group.
Would this take the place of an existing website for
the youth group? It's up to you. Like, I know a fair bit about websites, so I might build one anyway. We actually don't. This is our youth group's website. So it's what needs you have. If we satisfy the needs, then go with it. If you don't, then...
Can I give you my theory on that? I reckon you want at least something that you can put on the bottom of flyers that says example.fervor.net. or stivesyouth.com or whatever it is. I reckon you want at least one thing so that if someone wants to investigate further, they can go to something. And I reckon everything else comes back to it. So I was just saying to Daniel, we had a YouTube channel, youtube.com/CCECYouth, with 40 videos on it. But it points back to CCECYouth.com. We've got a Facebook profile, we've got a MySpace page, we've got all those things. And so I reckon it's not that hard to make another profile. Like I was just saying to Daniel then, like there's the website at the bottom, sxc.hu. It's just a royalty-free image site. I've got a profile there. Not that I use it. I just use that website to get images. But someone, I might download their photo and they'll see my profile and it just links back to my website, davemyers.com. I don't really use it, but the point is that I've got a whole bunch of things that people can find me on the internet. It all comes back to the one place. And that was the same with how I did with our youth group. You have a whole bunch of different profiles in different places that are easy to make because you've already got people in that world that know how to make them. There's free templates all over the place. And so I reckon you point them all back to one as your central one. And so that could be further. Or you know how on sites that might be, go to the resurgence.com. I think that's the one I saw recently at the bottom. It said Facebook, Twitter, a bunch of things. And so they've got all these other sites of their own, but they've still got their main one and they all point back. So I reckon that's how the webbiness works as well. Yeah.
I think about keeping your website fresh. You know, there's websites where the image banner at the top changes every time you go there.
Yeah.
Could you do something like having your posts kind of update at certain times of the week so you can do all your fresh making, like maybe at the beginning of
yeah.
the term, and say a new article every
once
week,
a week,
every 3 days or
something? I know WordPress really well. Easy. Sure.
We haven't actually given you that feature. It is built in there, so request it and it might appear in the next week or three.
Yeah, that, but that's...
Yeah,
so you can
totally.
Schedule things.
So you put in the date, start appearing here, finish appearing there.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, totally.
So I do that on my own site. There's weeks where I'm away and people wouldn't even realise it. On the Sunday afternoon, I've just quickly banged out a few things and at 9 o'clock every morning they pop up and people think I'm still at home. Whatever. Yeah.
So in regards to, if you've got your own website, a youth group website, in your firma as well, and you're commenting on both, or even you may have something else, how do you, how would you deal with putting content on different sites? Like, the more websites you've got, them.
Yeah, duplicate, just copy and paste the exact same thing. I used to do that with our MySpace one, so we have 200 kids who are on MySpace from youth group, and they were regularly checking it. So my weekly email to everyone, I duplicate that in the MySpace blog. Like, I've already written the thing. It takes me another literally 30 seconds to copy it in. And I was also saying to Dan, sort of in response to this question just before, if you're writing a talk every week or two, you might actually use your talk prep to make a post. Like, you might be brilliant saying, can you turn that into a 300-word post? Or vice versa, you might have written a talk, you had 4 points, you turn those 4 points into four posts over the next few days or whatever, next few weeks or whatever it might be. Yeah, good questions.
There's some techie ways you can get around it using RSS and
yeah.
putting it into the notes. Like, you have your one and then on the notes on
Facebook
groups,
yeah.
you can populate that with your RSS and same with your website, so you
okay.
just have one that's the same.
If you've got any more questions, our emails and our own personal websites are on the bottom there. I'm also going to be doing something in the next month, which is probably more for, I think it's more applicable for a church than a youth group, but basically how to use WordPress. It'll be a 10-step thing to be able to use it and set up one easy. I could even help you set it up, but obviously hook up with Fervor because that's going to be a pretty exciting thing. But thanks for coming. I'm going to quickly pray that we would use the stuff we've learned today for God's glory. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for everything good that you've given us, and we recognise the great harm that can happen on the internet. And so we pray for our teenagers that you would help them to be wise and godly online and Christian online. And please help us to think about how we can best use these technologies to encourage Christians and reach out to non-Christians. We pray that Jesus would be honoured as we do this, that we would be kept accountable, and that you'd help us to keep those in our youth groups accountable as well. And it's in Jesus' great name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.